Liquidless laundry detergent? As you know, plastic is a huge problem. Only 9% get recycled. Even if you put your jug in a bin, 25% gets declined from cross-contamination. If plastic does get recycled, it can only be reused twice. The facts don't lie. It's time to stop using plastic. Did you know that liquid detergent is up to 90% water? Earthfreeze created dehydrated detergent. Our EcoSheets easily dissolve in hot or cold water with the same powerful clean you're used to. Our packaging is biodegradable cardboard and ink. Eco-friendly options are usually expensive. EcoSheets are affordable. That way, everyone can make a difference. Laundry detergent is one of the most requested items at homeless shelters. With every package, we donate 10 loads of detergent. You get to choose who you donate to. We also donate a portion of our revenue to the planet. There is no reason not to switch. Subscribe and receive it exactly when you need it. No contracts, cancel anytime. We even offset all of our carbon emissions. This means your deliveries are carbon neutral. You can stay safe and order right from your home. EcoSheets are vegan and cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and a fragrance-free option, and sensitive to the most delicate skin. There are already thousands of 5-star reviews, and we offer a satisfaction guarantee. If you have any issues, we will refund you. So why not give EcoSheets a try? Click below or visit earthbreeze.com.
What are you waiting for? Why haven't you ordered?
Click below to try.
Welcome, bienvenue, willkommen y bienvenidos a la tercera temporada de Párate y Destacate. Yo soy tu anfitriona, Nikki Green. Welcome back to season 3 of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green, and we are kicking off an amazing new season filled with some incredible guests. Stand Up and Stand Out is a podcast for those leaving university and heading into the work world. We help those in transition find their purpose so they can enjoy their career without sacrificing their lives. Following nearly 2 decades working in Fortune 500 companies, I want to share my leadership learnings with all of you. Thought leaders are needed in all walks of life, not just business. And we're in a critical time to pivot ourselves and the community around us to build a better future together. This show is the start of your beyond college journey to help you answer the question, I graduated, now what? Let's get ready to listen in to the next episode. Welcome back, everybody, to Stand Up and Stand Out. We're very excited for our next episode to bring on Adam A. Adams. You guys may have seen me or heard me from me on his podcast, the podcast about podcasting. So Adam A. Adams has a loyal following in the real estate industry, as well as the podcasting industry. After selling his real estate podcast, he launched the podcast about podcasting, which is ranked as a top podcast for podcasters. Adam is the founder of growyourshow.com, where they help you get your message out to the world. Their clients are getting ranked in the top 1% of Apple Podcasts and other top charts, which means one thing. His clients have more influence than 99% of the podcasts out there. Adam says the reason most podcasters fail is lack of marketing, which is why his niche is to manage that critical piece so you have more listeners, downloads, and influence in your space. Welcome, Adam. Glad to have you on the show.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Well, we have so many interesting folks that come and tell us a bit about their journey. So many folks are kind of lost. Maybe they've gone to school. Maybe they stopped halfway through. And this pandemic has thrown a lot of people for the loop. And so we're trying to showcase as many people, different backgrounds and different things that they've pursued. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your career journey, Adam?
Yeah, sure. Like my career journey is interesting just because I bounced around a little bit. I've done just a few things in my career. And one of them is owning a business. Like, I guess being a self-employed person is probably a better way to say it. Because sometimes you don't really own a business, it'll own you. But in general, I kind of started that in 2007 after selling a piece of real estate. I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That book basically told me that I needed to be self-employed or a business owner. So I started working on that. It also said I needed to be an investor. So I tried to increase the amount of real estate investments that I got. That was back in 2007. My first ever real estate investment was 2005. And in 2007, I started this handyman company with like 13 employees. And I thought that was a lot. Now I have quite a bit more. But back then I was like, dang, I'm like managing all these people and their personalities and their different levels of skill set. And it was a lot of fun. We were doing okay as a college student. I was netting $20,000 a month. And I thought, this is amazing. It's better than I could do after I graduate. So I just kept, you know, running my own little companies and investing whatever I could in as real estate investments. But I started a podcast to help my real estate career. It was a podcast called The Creative Real Estate Podcast, helping people do out-of-box things for their real estate, because I knew that there was always a way to invest. A lot of people are like putting barriers or they're basically thinking to themselves that I can't do this, so I'm just not going to. I don't have enough money or whatever. So I started that podcast to kind of help that. And just fast forward, I sold that and started just helping podcasters grow their podcasts, since that podcast ended up getting ranked well into the top 1% of all podcasts nation worldwide, actually. But at any rate, that's when I started Grow Your Show, and Grow Your Show and the podcast on podcasting, or POP for short, P-O-P. And from there, we've just been supporting as many podcasters as we can at a high level.
That's fantastic. And what do you say to people? Because I think that's kind of some of the things you were hinting on. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, I just came out of school, I'm broke, I don't have money to invest, or I'm too afraid to start a business of my own because I need a steady paycheck. There's often that fear of, well, you know, I need to make money before I can go invest money, right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. It's tough to say what's the right answer for somebody. For me, I'm less daunted by small failures along the way. So for me, it makes sense. It's fairly comfortable to just go ahead and start a business, invest. But many people, they prefer like a steady paycheck. So the only thing that I will say that might be inspirational, since we all have different personalities for stuff like this, is that many times I'll have a month where I will net, you know, 40, 50, 55,000. And in many cases, for somebody who wants a steady paycheck, they might be only looking for 40,000, 36,000, 60,000, 100,000 in a whole year. Mm-hmm. And there's many times that in a month, like, you can also make that. So it's like, for my thoughts and my feelings, is that holding on to a steady full-time job would, in my case, definitely slow me down and make it more challenging to get to where I want to be. You know, making sure that I was making 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thousand a month could probably make it so that I wasn't making 50,000 a month. So, and it's not like right for everybody. But for me, I definitely feel closed off. I feel fear of missing out. I feel like I have to divert my attention. And when we're trying to chase two rabbits, we generally won't get a rabbit. Like, we're not going to catch either one. And so I've kind of learned that, at least for me and my personality, just let go of the full-time job. Take a couple of punches because it will hurt. But ultimately, you know, our income, when we do our own thing, we have the ability to make, you know, 10 times what we could have made by staying comfortable.
Yeah, that's an incredible concept, I think, is this paycheck is a base, right? It's a steady base, but there's not a ton of upside. And your upside is limited by how the corporation is doing and, you know, whatever else is going on with your boss that day. Versus when you work for yourself, this upside, it has so much more potential, but you do have to ride these waves a bit of being a bit more planful, right, with how you spend. And I think that's also a good thing that I know I've heard a lot of people too, is like, they have a job they don't like, they end up making a lot of money, but they just end up spending a lot of money too, because they're so unhappy at work. you know, that that money is trying to fill the void that maybe if they were pursuing something more interesting to them, they, you know, might be doing it a little differently.
Yeah. Nick, there's one thing that most employers live by, and it's like this 30X rule. It's just that each and every single one of your employees are supposed to generate 30 times their salary. And it's like, sometimes when you're the employer and you're paying somebody like this small amount, but you know that they're making you 30X, sometimes as an employer, that's wonderful. And you're like, this is amazing. And other times you're like, man, I need to give them a raise.
Right.
But the companies that stay in business the longest, they really live by that 30X rule. And it's interesting to note that, because if you are an employee, you're probably worth 30 times what you're getting paid, right?
Great.
You're most likely worth that. And it's good to note that if you succeeded on your own, you could at least 30X your income. Now, earlier I talked about 10X or whatever, but generally that's the rule. And so it's important to at least pay attention to it. Should I be doing the same amount of work and getting a 30th of what I should be getting paid, like my real true value, or right. Should I go on my own and get all of what I'm worth?
Yeah, that's great. That it's so inspirational. And so as you made that pivot from sort of what you knew with real estate to now working with other podcasters, what sort of inspired you to make that specific shift?
There's really two things, and it comes down to one is that the economy kind of was changing and I was getting concerned, mm-hmm. as my main focus being just real estate investing, and which it has been for so long. And I was thinking, like, I need to make sure that if the economy tanks or crashes, or I lose some of my apartment communities. So I have about 1,400 doors. It sounds like a lot, but I have partners. It's like $100 million valued of real estate that I'm partnered in. Not that I own all of that myself, but the point is that this is where all of my eggs were. All of my eggs were in one basket. I did a little bit of consulting one-on-one, but I thought, you know, if the economy changes, how can I make sure that I have, you know, multiple streams of income and I'm not like relying on any one thing? So that, to be completely, you know, vulnerable with you and your listener, that's part of it. I thought, you know, maybe the economy is going to change for real estate. So I want to make sure that I'm prepared. And the second thing was that I had been helping many, many people for free for a long time. Just they were friends of mine.
Yeah.
Not that people wouldn't call me up and I would just like coach them. But a friend would say, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. Yours obviously did really well. So how did you get there? And so it became something where I realized that I have some unique skill set in this one place of how to break everything apart, and deconstruct it, and then put it back together so that it's more systematic, so that we can help more people at a time. And after figuring that out and determining that, you know, I should have another source of income just in case something happened, that's the real truth why I started the company to support lots of podcasters. It, in part, just drove me crazy that people were starting podcasts and like not having any listener base.
Yeah.
And it was just like, come on, let me help you. Let me like give you the keys that you need to be able to do this. And so a company was born, Grow Your Show.
That's fantastic. And I think that's great, right? It kind of two big lessons that I always try to teach those that I'm, you know, doing career counseling with is diversify, right? Even with that steady paycheck, you don't know. You don't know what the economy is going to do. You don't know if that company gets bought out, like any number of things, right? And so I think it's important to diversify your interests and, you know, explore new things. And if you gain some new skills in the process and all of a sudden you're like, hey, I can repurpose these skills to help a new audience. Perfect, right? It's win-win. And I think it's important for people to just keep trying things too until you know, maybe I could do something new with this, and you have a whole new group of people to work with. So that's cool.
Thank you.
So while you're being inspired, how about, do you have a dream guest or like a podcast you really like listening to that you'd love to have on your show?
I don't really have one to be, to share like how I think about podcasting and having guests is I don't really think that famous, amazing guests are the end all be all. I don't really think that it changes much. There, certainly, I have a lot of respect for a lot of different podcasters in this space, but I don't feel like interviewing them will actually change my podcast, the value that I'm putting on my podcast. I don't know if it will impact me personally as a business person to have certain famous people. So I actually don't think that I have a dream guest. I've had some really cool people that have some incredible podcasts, and I'm grateful for that, and I've learned from them, but there's really no one else that I'm like, oh, that would change my life if that person came on the show. In fact, in many cases, I think it's beneficial to have guests on my show that are in their journey, you know, instead of the ones that have made it or whatever, because I truly believe that somebody in their journey resonates better with my listener who is also in their journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm not needing to prove some point that I can have like certain guests on my show. That doesn't feed my ego. I'd rather just add value. And I know that I can do that with lots of different people that are currently in the journey. And so my answer is I don't really have a dream guest, but I'd be open-minded to having just about anyone on the podcast if they could add value to my listener.
Yeah. And that's good too, right? It's knowing what's going to be good for you and your audience. And I've been so pleasantly surprised when I bring people on the show, and you know, you don't know a ton about them sometimes when they join you, and then you start to hear their story and it either resonates with you or you know it's going to resonate with your audience. And so I've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of people, and it's been fantastic. I think it's just fun to interview people. And as a writer, I just like hearing people's stories. So it's been kind of cool. So on that topic of interviewing and having guests on the show, a lot of our audience is leaving school and starting to interview for jobs and trying to figure out what they're doing. And since those of us in podcasting pretty much do interviews all the time, how do you get the most when you interview someone for your show? How do you get the most out of them and the best story for them to tell?
That's good. There's a couple things that we do on our show when we're interviewing other people. And there's pieces where we fall short for sure. And I think it's beneficial for your listener to kind of share a little bit of all of that. One thing that I don't do is a lot of research on my guest. Mm-hmm. And some people, that drives them crazy. They're like, you're not prepared. And I totally understand that. And I'm not arguing it at all. But I do it a little bit differently only because I feel that it's my way of getting the most amount of value. And so I do a pre-interview, but it's not on a different day. It's just the first 5, 10, 15 minutes of the podcast interview time, mm-hmm, where we will just determine like what direction to go. And one of the questions that I ask during the pre-interview that I think helps is, what value do you want to give to my listener who is, and then I describe my listener. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps in a lot of ways. Sometimes when you have a guest on the show, they're thinking like self-promotion, like no offense to most guests, but they really start there. They get on and they're like, oh, good. Now I can be in front of your audience, Nikki, and I can talk all about my services and how I can make millions with what I do by, you know, trying to convert your audience into my paying customer. So I understand that. It's not like, it's not new to the world for people to want to self-promote. But when I ask in the beginning, what value do you want to give to my listener who is a new podcaster starting out, mm-hmm, they're struggling through this. They don't know how to do this and this and this. What kind of value, I restate it, do you want to give to that person? And it, I believe, changes the heart of my guest immediately instead of the self-promotional like mindset to more of the value mindset. The how can I pour into this person? What have I learned over the course of my journey that needs to be stated? So that's part of what I think helps me to do a little bit better. A second part that is having a genuine curiosity about people, loving people, caring about people, wanting to bring out their story. And the third part, which I think is the most, one of the absolute most important things that you can do ever, is whenever I'm asking questions to my guest, I'm only thinking about my listener. Mm-hmm. And that is a disconnect that many podcasters have. They ask questions that only they want to know. They're not really thinking about their listener or their perfect avatar, who would be like their perfect client. They're not really necessarily supporting them. If I could give one example of that, it's in the real estate realm where I come from, and why I've coached so many people that specifically do real estate is because they're starting podcasts. Most of these investors want to raise private capital. Most of these real estate people, their goal is OPM, other people's money, because they kind of either run out of their own money because it's all already invested, or maybe right. they don't have it quite yet. And so they're trying to figure out, how can I attract capital? Mm-hmm. And their thought is a podcast, you know, growing my brand is going to be the end all be all. But the problem comes here, where they're interviewing people on their podcast that have, you know, succeeded, like we were talking about before, that have yeah. achieved all of this. And they are basically asking, how did you, you know, become a, how did you get 100 million in real estate or a billion in real estate? What were you able to do? And so the questions that they're asking are benefiting the host.
The host, yeah, not the listener.
But not the perfect person that they want to work with them. Right. Like, how did you find deals help a passive investor? Or how did you raise capital for your deals help a passive investor? These passive investors are there to put their money in with you. And so many real estate investors make that mistake. And I know people that do this on all walks of podcasting. It's just that it's so easy to illustrate there. They're trying to add value to themselves versus their listener. So I use, for this third one, I use WIIFM, everybody's favorite radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? You always got to be thinking about that specifically. Mm-hmm. Who is my listener? Who's my avatar? What do they need? Who should I be interviewing on my podcast to help them? Mm-hmm. And what questions should I ask that would be supportive to my listener? Not to me. I'm not a selfish, you know, podcaster yeah. today. So those are the three things that I would definitely say help with interviewing people on your show.
I think that's so good because even, you know, I've interviewed lots of people for jobs and had them come in and they do the same thing, right? They talk about themselves and they're overselling like all these grandiose themes. And then you ask them kind of a more real question, right? To get to know them. And all of a sudden they forgot who they are. They had the sales pitch in their head, right? But when you try to get to know them on a more personal level, because honestly, when you go to work, you're going to be spending 40 plus whatever hours with people. You want to make sure you get along. Yeah, I want to know that you have the skills, but I'm assuming by the time I looked at your resume and we screened you to bring you in, right? You got some of those basics. I'm now trying to get to that next level of really connecting with you. And I think they can use that. What are they talking about too? Because if they're thinking more about the customers of the business, of like how they're going to contribute to the business of the business overall as well. Those are kind of good things that I think come together. And we're all learning how to improve our interview skills one day at a time. So just keep practicing, right?
Can I piggyback on that, Nikki?
Please do.
I think that's really getting into another option that we should all be thinking of when we're interviewing others, or even like just being a podcaster yourself, is there's a lot of that scripted stuff. There's a lot of that. This is what I want people to see, but this over here is the real me. And I think it could be beneficial for most podcasters to take a fourth piece of advice and to just literally try to be yourself. Spend the focus on being who you are to the core, like what you would say to your family members, your brothers, your sisters, your sweetheart, your partners, how you would act around them. If you cuss, you cuss. If you talk about, you know, these types of subjects, that's what you're passionate about. If whatever your main personality is, I think you should let it shine. Like when we're in an interview and we can have our own personality, it's easier for example, like Nikki and I to get along a little bit better when we're both being able to be real to the core. And I honestly believe that whether you're interviewing people, whether you're doing an episode by yourself, it's going to translate to your listener and your perfect avatar. When they see that congruency, when they can feel that you are who you are, I think that they're going to hire you more often. They're going to listen to more of your podcast episodes. But when you're maybe, let's just pretend as if you were somebody who cussed all the time. I cuss sometimes, but let's just pretend if you're the main language that you use is four-letter words, and on your podcast, you never do that. I believe truly to my heart that there is an incongruence, that your listener's not going to be able to understand who you are, like you, or trust you, or hire you, because they're just not sure where that disconnect is. So I think being yourself will help you as an interviewer, and also help you give more value to your listener. Just like you were saying, Nikki, when you're interviewing people for a job, and if they're like too perfect or they're too like polished, and then you ask them a question about themselves and it throws them off, and now you're like, I'm not really sure about this person.
It wasn't a trick question.
Yeah, I love the way that you mentioned that. I actually think it'll help all podcasters to hone that in. And I'm like the worst at this. I want to impress people. Like, that's my natural place to go. I have to try to be myself. That sounds ridiculous. You're like, some people are rolling their eyes. That's the easiest person to be. To me, it's like, I'm ashamed of some things, or I'm embarrassed of some things, or I remember getting made fun of when I was 5 years old in grade school, and now I'm afraid to put myself out there. Yeah. So it's been a challenge to just own it and be okay with who I am to the core. But when I do, I believe wholeheartedly that I support more people, I make more money, my podcast is in front of a bigger audience, etc.
Yeah. And it's so true. And it's tough, right? And I think especially with the younger generation, is they've got this Instagram perfect idea in their head. And that's also who they're trying to portray. I think one of the other challenges with a lot of the interviews folks are doing now too, is it's not in person anymore. Before, there was sort of like this excitement and energy because you'd get all dressed up, right? And you'd go to the campus and you'd get to see physically like where you were going to work. Now, all of a sudden, like you're trying to keep your cat quiet and you're in your kitchen and, you know, and all these things are happening because you're doing it on Zoom, and it's a little tougher even to give that authenticity through the screen, through the video, because you're still figuring like, I've got to curate this like an Instagram post or something. So what kind of advice do you have for doing everything virtually? Because we definitely have an advantage in that area too.
you mean when you say virtually, you mean like an interview, like
interviewing
this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I only do interviews like this. It helps me. A couple of tips is select whatever you're going to record on. So I personally use Zoom. Now, there's absolutely downfalls to Zoom with audio and video quality, but I still prefer it because of some of the ease of use that it allows me for, and everybody knows what it is. And so I'm just going to keep using Zoom until Riverside or one of these other companies decides that they're going to make it more integrated with my calendar. Mm-hmm. But that's the first step. Like, if you're going to be virtual, is determining what platform you're going to record on, how you're going to record, how you're going to do backup recordings. All of this is critical if you are if you're doing a virtual recording. You got to know where you're going to do that. The next thing that I would say, you mentioned your cat and distractions, like in your kitchen, for example. So the next thing is your space that I'll mention if you're recording virtually. So I want you to have as few drawbacks or distractions as humanly possible. Number one, your children, your animals, the window, whatever.
All of it.
But on top of that, when you're selecting your space to record in, I also think that it's helpful to at least a percentage of your listener base for you to be recording in a space that doesn't have a whole bunch of reverb. For example, if you have a couple of windows, your voice is going to echo off that window and come back to your microphone. If you don't have any carpet or rugs, then your voice is going to echo off the floor. And so some of these rooms that are big and don't have any of that like porous stuff on the walls, yeah, you're actually going to get a ton of echoing. So additionally, as part of your space, I think it's beneficial for podcasters to have a microphone. And the type of mic that I would say is a dynamic microphone. So write it down. There's a condenser microphone as well and a dynamic. And so just to give you a quick example, this is helpful to anyone who's about to start a podcast. There's a thing called a Blue Yeti. It's a mic that comes up like first when you say pod microphone, but it's actually not the correct kind of mic that you would want to use typically for recording because you're going to hear too much room noise. Mm-hmm. With a dynamic, it's only going to hear what's closer to the microphone. And with that said, I suggest that all people that are recording, once they get that dynamic mic, that you should be within a fist, 2 to 3 inches from touching the microphone with your mouth. A lot of people call it eat the mic. It's actually a good thing to quote, eat the mic. Additionally, as part of your space, you know, your carpet, your walls, your windows, you're treating your walls if you can, your microphone. I also encourage you to use headphones for two main reasons. One reason to use headphones when you're recording is because you're going to be able to hear how you sound. So if you can hear yourself through your headphones, it's going to support you to know if you're too loud, too quiet, too echoey. If you're distorting the sound somehow by having the gain turned up. But additionally, it will allow your guest, if you have a guest, for their sound, instead of coming out of your speaker and back into your mic, it'll come just into your directly to your ears and never go to the mic. So you don't get that looping, echoing.
Echo.
Yeah. And so definitely, you know, think that number two is your space, your recording setup. Let me think. I'll stop with two because those are decent ones. And if you have any follow up questions,
no. And I think those are great things, right? Is like it now that it is our own space, we have more control over it. And if you are nervous about the interviews and talking to people, this is the way of our future for now. For most of us, it's going to be some version of hybrid working and, you know, having to be on video and audio and all of it. So let's stop just sort of using whatever free headphones came with our phone, you know, to be doing these kinds of meetings. Like, let's start up leveling and start with your interview. Because if you're not worried about the tech and you know that it's confidently going to work and you know your space is comfortable, so you're not uncomfortable about that, then you're going to be more at ease when you have to go through the interview process. So I think all those things are going to be great.
Do you mind if I share two more things?
Please,
because I thought of them after.
You always have amazing ideas.
So the third thing that I would say after like making sure you're in a good space would be taking notes during the podcast. And I like it when you're doing it virtually. It's like I can be looking straight at you, but having the notes pretty close to where my camera would be. And so it's not going to look too awkward if I'm taking notes or whatever. So I take notes, and if I know that I'm going to say something or ask something in a moment, I'll make the notes. And additionally, as my guest goes, I will take some notes just right there. And what that does is helps me to be able to wrap it up at the end, be able to give, you know, tangible takeaways to my listener, what's in it for me. at the end and to be able to like know where I'm going. For example, just a moment ago, I was like, here, there's two, but I don't know the third one, right?
Yeah.
And then I wrote down notes and then face to face. I wrote those down because I was like, oh, that's a good third one and that's a good fourth one. But you didn't, you know, your listener didn't really see that, but it's going to help because now I know I'm not going to get distracted because I'm talking about making notes and then I'm going to be talking about face to face, which brings me to the fourth one, which is face to face. And all I mean by that is a lot of podcasters, they say, oh, I'm not going to use the video.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turn off the video.
Oh, yeah.
No. My suggestion. Now, I get there's pros and cons. Now, without the video, it can help the bandwidth to make sure that the audio is not going to have as many problems. So I get that, too. But when I'm looking at you right now, Nikki, as we're recording this, regardless if you use the video or not, I believe that you and I can connect more. I can know what you're thinking as I'm talking, like your facial expressions. That helps me as a person to be able to make sure I'm on the right track, I'm adding value. And so when I'm interviewing, I technically do use the video too. But even if I wasn't going to use the video, I would be sure to work with a video. And if I can give you a quick fifth thing, if at all possible, you should be hardwired into your internet. So check your upload and download speed. And instead of using Wi-Fi, you can just use an Ethernet cord and just plug into the back of your modem or router. And that will also help you to, if you're on a virtual, to make sure that you're going to have less problems with the bandwidth of your internet.
Yeah, any kind of stability issues. All these things I think are good, just sort of check the box, right? It's hard enough to worry about, okay, what are the questions? What am I going to say, right? You already have all those things that you're trying to go through. If you're also fiddling around with your headset and your Wi-Fi and everything else, it's going to be an incredibly stressful process and you're not going to come across in the way that, you know, you probably would if you were just in person and you could be more relaxed and just talk to a person across the table. But I do believe the video is absolutely important. And I know there's a lot of introverts who are really tired of having to do stuff on video, but I think it's important, you know, to connect with people and to see what they're doing. You know, long before the pandemic, I was doing video calls through all my tech jobs. So I got used to it. And even if it was 3 o'clock in the morning for me, because I was trying to talk to someone in Asia, it's fine. My hairs and curlers, whatever the thing is, it's again more authentic. That this isn't a convenient time, but this is an important topic. So let's talk, you know, and make sure that I'm also spending time with their day. So I think those are all fantastic ideas and they're really, really going to help our listeners a lot.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. Well, Adam, we're about to wrap it up here. And I know you probably have 1,000 projects and lots of exciting things coming up. What would you like to share with our audience about what's next for Adam and for Grow Your Show?
Yeah, I don't have much of what I need to share for myself, but I will at least offer if there's somebody who needs help with any of this, they can just go to growyourshow.com. Pretty easy to find. And you can schedule a free call with us and see if we can support you and help you either start a podcast or grow a show.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I'm so excited. I'm glad you joined me today. I had so much fun being on your show. And who knows when we're going to run into each other again, maybe another podcast movement in there, some kind of fun conference when we're allowed to keep circulating around the U.S. here. Awesome. Well, have a great rest of your day. Enjoy a bike ride or get some sunshine before we're into winter again here.
Done. Done and done.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today on Stand Up and Stand Out. We'll see you next time.
Well, another awesome show in the books. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed making it. For video outtakes of the show, don't forget to catch us on TikTok. You don't stop at NikkiGreen678. The full-length shows are available on all the podcast platforms now, including Amazon Music, Stitcher, and Good Pods. The full video is available on Nikki's YouTube channel, and links to all of our social media, including info about our guests, is available in our show notes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.